You don't need to be timid about thanking the choir. You should be robust. And there are always persons who help to make the beauty and splendor of this place. Jane Flora directs always the altar work and the guild. I think it was Pam Westrup and Becky Patterson that's responsible for the Thanksgiving altar, so bless them. And these pews wouldn't be pretty without you, so bless yourselves. Let's pray. Lord, we enter these moments of word and we seek your spirit to stir in our hearts. Help us to hear and capture the imagination which springs from you. And help us believe and trust that we might express from our hearts the depth of gratitude as you've given us the gift of your heart in Jesus Christ our Lord. For these things we are grateful and we offer you praise. Amen. Today is the fourth and the final in our series of From the Heart. We began our journey with love from the heart. We explored what it meant to understand creating from the heart and obedience or obeying from the heart. And this morning we end with speaking from the heart. How we communicate God's love and the gospel message, not just to our family and friends, but to every individual we meet. In a book published from the Methodist Episcopal Church yearbook, 1881, we would have been part of that group here at Armstrong Chapel. The Methodist Episcopal Church yearbook, 1881, this phrase, put their money where their faith is. The message of our generous giving team is not a new one. It is one that has faced the church and will continue to be part of our work together, that we can establish and be a people respective of God's blessing and to share those gifts with others. The thought of putting your money where your mouth is a clear challenge of both priority and thanksgiving. Our words can ring hollow, as in the day of Jesus, by the scribes and Pharisees, or our words can ring in that abundance of our brothers and sisters in 1881 who put their money where their faith is. There is, out of the scripture this morning, the plea of the psalmist that says, let word and sincerity, that word and action would be bound together and that we would communicate clearly the work of God's redemptive grace in our lives. Tina had two children. She was not employed, and yet she wanted to make a commitment to the church's capital campaign of the congregation of which I served. She made the commitment that she and her two children would walk the roadsides and pick up pop cans and recycle them back and turn the money in. In the 6 month period of which that campaign was a part of that congregation, she and her two children raised over $700. That's not easy to find that many cans. Bob and his wife were wonderful stewards of God's work. Bob was a retired pastor in a congregation of which I served, and he was part of the leadership around that work that we did a few years ago to raise over $1 million for the Wings of the Morning plane. Do you remember that? Bob and his wife, when they were working on that campaign, began to pray on how they might respond out of God's generosity. They had a car that was about 12 years old, and they had been saving to replace that car. Again, this is a retired clergy, so it's not somebody who had wealth of resource in past employment. And he and his wife, after much prayerful thought, decided that instead of buying the replacement car that they had worked on, that there was nothing mechanically wrong with the car that they were operating, and this plane could save more lives than their car ever would. So they gave $25,000 to that project just because God laid it on their heart. You and I could tell story after story of people who put their money where their mouth is, who share the commitment of God's grace and God's abundance, and without hesitation allow the Holy Spirit to prompt and stir them in God's care. In Matthew chapter 6, we heard Jesus say, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In this morning's scripture passage out of Matthew, again, Jesus tells, "Why do you worry about what you'll eat or wear or drink?" A mom by the name of Alice called my office. She shared her story of the four children that she's been raising, and the fact that since July there was a time period that the five of them had been homeless and they'd stayed with a variety of folks, and finally in October of this year they found a place that they could afford and she moved in, a place finally of stability and security, all to have that dashed by a health concern that put her in the hospital and left her without any way to keep them in that home. As your pastor, I could have easily said to her, "We'll be praying for you and wish you the very best." But because of your generosity, I could say to her, "We'll take care of your rent this month, and we'll provide it for you if you need it next month. We will stand with you so that the security that you're attempting to offer, the transformation from being homeless to homebound, opportunities out of which you could then provide for your children, we'll give it." Because you see, her oldest daughter, at the age of 18, has been for the past 2 years battling breast cancer. And yes, the insurance will decide she can't have reconstruction surgery because that's cosmetic. You and I live in an interesting world. Matthew 12 has Jesus say, "I tell you, on this day, judgment will be for those who give an account for every careless word they speak." Speaking from the heart is never an easy thing. An opportunity to extend what God has given to us and to articulate that to another begins to be absolutely essential. And yet, just before this passage of judgment accountability, hear what Jesus said in Matthew 12, 34. "For out of the abundance of a heart, the mouth speaks." These words were addressed to the faith community, just as the prayer out of the psalmist prays that we would offer words in sincerity, so you and I are called to offer that in this moment. Whatever God lays on our hearts, that we might speak that truth in love, that we might share in that abundance as only God has equipped us to share. A few weeks ago, some of you heard me preach the message that I used a phrase that some of you love the beach more than you love the church. Some of you love clothing more than you love the church. Some of you love utilities more than you love the church. And some of you were kind of stirred by that passage. A couple of you reminded me that I'd had a vacation this year. And I'm happy to report that Elizabeth and I celebrated our 35th anniversary on that vacation in New York City, at which time we spent about $4,200. Little more than we normally spend, but I guess she's worth it. Yet the reality is, I want you to understand that to date, we're on track at giving about $8,800 to the ministry of this church, and we'll finish that by the end of this year. I want you to understand, not from a boastful position, but from a clear way to speak from the heart, what our priority is with Christ and with this church and its ministry in the community. You and I are given a rich, abundant opportunity to reflect from our lives what Christ has given to us and how we can care and share with another. I pray there will never come a day when I simply have to say to the person on the other end of the phone, "We'll be praying for you because I do not have resources to care for your need." Yet you and I stand in an interesting place that the folks of the Methodist Episcopal Church in 1881 stood in the same. Will you put your money where your faith is? Will you equip the church to be the church, to be that place where you'll not worry about what you eat or what you drink, but you'll worry about the righteousness that you and I are to speak in love and to share in this world? Speak from the heart and share your love with Christ. Because, you know, God hasn't taken a vacation this year. He's been on duty 24/7. He's never left us, never forsaken us. Another strange thing, my $8,800 doesn't even come close to compare what was given on the cross by Jesus' precious gift. God is the extravagant giver. We simply model after him. We attempt to be his children, responding to his mercy, his love, and his gift from the heart. If God has given that gift to you, will you join the Methodist Episcopal Church in 1881 and put your money where your faith is? May it be so. Amen. This morning, as you have